Welcome to the Christmas Eve edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, a message you'll be blessed by. The Encouraging Word. Today, Dr. Wilton's talking about the prophet of Christmas. We'll be continuing back to Luke as we were yesterday, but diving a little deeper into the prophetic concept of what Jesus really did in fulfilling the prophecies and what he does for you and me today as we celebrate Christmas. As we open the Word together, know that we're available for you. We love the opportunity of praying with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's the phone number. Store us in your cell. Let us be a contact at The Encouraging Word, 866-899-9673, or online at tewonline.org. We are excited about what God's going to do today as we open the Bible itself, God's Encouraging Word, together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, wherever you are this morning, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of God's Word and turn with me in the Bible to Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Here's what Zechariah said. And you, my child, that is John, will be called, here it is, a prophet of the Most High. Why? For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. May the Lord write His Word on our hearts. I'm going to share with you 6 facts related to what the prophet of Christmas had to say about this salvation. Now, this is the announcement concerning what he is going to say. Could I put it like this? Zechariah prophesied about what the prophet was going to prophesy about. I think I'm going to try and run that by again. Zechariah prophesied about what the prophet was going to prophesy about. Did I get that right, Steve? Thank you. I want you to just think about this. This is the Word of God. Number one, the prophet of Christmas emphasize the significance of preparation for salvation. The prophet of Christmas, John the Baptist, emphasized the significance of preparation for Christmas. Look at verse 76, the second part. He said, listen, Zechariah, prophesying about what the prophet was going to prophesy about, said John is going to prophesy and he's going to begin by prophesying concerning the necessity of preparation for the coming salvation, who is the Christ of Christmas. John the Baptist stood up and said something that was so critical when it comes to our salvation. Talking specifically about the coming of the Messiah, he looked at the people and he said, prepare the way. But what I believe he is saying to the hearts of all people is that while we prepare for Christmas, so it is that we must prepare to receive the Christ of Christmas. Number one, we need to be prepared to receive the gift, and we need to be prepared to give the gift. You know, one of my favorite little sayings at Christmas time is that we need to make a list and then check it twice, right? Well, I'll guarantee you I'm hardly looking into the face of a person today who hasn't checked that list at least twice, if not a whole lot more. Or you sit down and you look and you say, now, who have we left out? What do we need to get? How much do we need to get? Who do we need to get? I mean, we line all these things up. You see, friends, listen. Listen to this. We understand what it means to prepare. Can I make an announcement to you today? There is not one person within the sound of my voice today that is here by accident. God is preparing you for salvation. to receive all that God has done for us in and through this one who is born in Bethlehem's manger. We need to be prepared not only to receive the gift, but we need to be prepared to give the gift. Number two, the prophet of Christmas spoke of the knowledge of salvation. Now, folks, fasten your seatbelts. I want you to note something here in verse 77. This prophet, John the Baptist, he was going to stand up before Jesus arrived on the scene and make an announcement. What was the announcement? That the coming one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be coming in order to give his people the knowledge of salvation. Whoa! Number one, who were his people? The Jewish people, God's people, the children of God. Today, all of us. Why? Because Jesus Christ has broken that barrier. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. But at this time that John was speaking, he was talking to the Jewish people. It was a shocking concept to the Jewish people. It was so shocking because the Jewish people considered God, number one, untouchable. They believed that God was untouchable. The people of God believed that God was unapproachable. They believed that this God was unpredictable. Like many of us today, we believe God's untouchable. We believe God's unapproachable. You can't approach God. He's too mighty and he's too holy. We believe that God is unpredictable. You can never know what his next move's going to be. We believe that God is unpredictable, but we also believe that God is unmentionable. They certainly did back there. These people, the people of God, the Jewish people, in the Old Testament, just before Jesus came and set them free, just before the new covenant, what was God's name? Jehovah, Yahweh, in the Hebrew, spelt J-A-H-W-E-H. Guess what, folks? That's how we transliterate it. That's how we write it in order to pronounce it. But did you know that in the Old Testament, the name Jehovah has no vowels in it? So let's just do something. Let's take the A and the E out of Yahweh, Jehovah. Now try and pronounce Jehovah. You can't do it. Let me give you a practice run on something. My name, if you didn't know that, my full name is Donald. All right, all got that? Everybody say Donald. Come on now, everybody say Donald. I didn't hear you. Everybody say Donald. That's me, thank you. All right, now let's take the vowels out, the O and the A. Let me tell you how you say my name. Okay, everybody say my name without the vowels in. Come on now. Now get out your tissues and everything and wipe the coats of the people in front of you. You can't pronounce a name without vowels in it, can you? Now folks, listen. Here is the prophet of Christmas making a shocking statement. John the Baptist gets up and here's what he says. He says, listen, you through this one who is salvation are going to be capable of acquiring or having knowledge of salvation. Well, what a shocking concept. God was untouchable. God was unapproachable. God was unpredictable. God was unmentionable. God was unreachable. And God was unattainable. You couldn't get anywhere near God as far as they were concerned. Do you know that I've met people like that even in the year 2004? You know, I've met people who come to church on Sundays and they say, well, I'm just going to go through this motion, but God is this somebody out here. He's this somebody, I don't know. He's a vapor. He's just a spirit out here. And I can never touch God. I cannot reach God. I cannot know God. I cannot have a conversation with God. I've got a good announcement to make to you today. Yes, you can. You know how it happened? Because of the Christ of Christmas. He made that possible. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father, be joined to the Father, be reconciled with the Father, excepting by virtue of what I have done when I died upon the cross and I became your high priest. The curtain was rent in two from top to bottom. The way was made open for all people, that whosoever to the Lord may come. What does it mean when he spoke of the knowledge of salvation? Now watch this, folks. What does it mean to have knowledge of God? Number one, what it means, my friend, the consequences of this is that first of all, through Jesus Christ, we can know who God is. Now I want you to really hold on to that. The first essential consequence of having knowledge of salvation is that through him, we can know who God is. And number two, it means that through Jesus Christ, we can be where God is. Now watch this, running together, folks. Jesus Christ came and he died upon the cross. The prophet gets up and he says, listen, I want to speak to you the attainable access that you have in Jesus Christ, which will allow you to acquire knowledge of God. What was he talking about? He was saying God is no longer untouchable and unattainable and unapproachable and unmentionable. God, you can know who God is. And number two, not only can you know who God is, but you can be where God is. I want to tell you two things that have happened to me since Jesus came into my heart. I got a long way to go. But number one, by his Spirit, through his word, every day I'm learning more and more about who God is. Because God allows me to do that through his word by his Spirit. Number two, I know that I know that I know that one day when I die, or if Jesus were to come back first, I know that I'm going to be where God is. Now, folks, the Jewish people back in that day, this boggled their minds. This confounded the critics. This upset the status quo. It threatened their treasury. It turned their theology upside down. Don't let anybody ever get so deep theologically that they stand up and all they can do is preach to you about the untouchableness of the Almighty God. I want to tell you that because Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger, my God is my God, and I can know who he is. I can have a personal relationship with him, and one day I can physically and practically be with him where he is. The prophet of Christmas, well, first of all, he emphasized the significance of preparation for Christmas. He spoke of the knowledge of salvation, and number three, he pointed to the means of salvation. He pointed to the means of salvation. Look at the second part of verse 77. Bible says that he would come to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. I love this. How is it possible? Watch this, folks. Watch me. Good question. How is it possible for somebody like me and you, number one, to know who God is, and number two, to be where God is? How is it possible? Can I tell you how it's possible? Through the forgiveness of sin. See, the Bible tells me that God's eyes have not been blinded, that he cannot see me. God's arms have not been amputated, that he cannot reach out to me. His legs haven't been cut off, that he cannot run toward me. His heart has not been plucked out, that it cannot beat for me. But it is my sin which has separated me from Almighty God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through whom? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel. That's the good news about Jesus. That's the Christmas message. Now watch this, folks. What is the means? Well, the prophet was prophesying about the means of salvation. He was speaking to two things. Number one, the purpose for which Jesus Christ was born, and number two, the plan for which he died. We love to talk about being a purpose-driven church. We like to talk about purpose statements and our life's purpose and our sense of purpose. Did you know, by the way, that God, from before the foundation of the world, had a plan and a purpose for people like you and me? It all came to fruition when that baby was born in a manger. What did it speak to? Speak to the purpose for which he was born. But it also spoke eloquently to the plan for which Jesus Christ would die. Jesus was born in order to die. Now watch this. Number four, the prophet of Christmas underlined the source of salvation. He underlined the source of salvation. Let me reiterate with you. Number one, he emphasized the significance of preparation for salvation. Number two, he spoke of the knowledge of salvation. Number three, he pointed to the means of salvation, the forgiveness that you and I have in Jesus Christ. But number four, he underlined the source of our salvation. If I could put that into modern day terminology, where does this all come from? Well, it's right here, according to this prophecy that came from the prophet of Christmas, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God. Now, dear friend, you might be saying to me today, Pastor, where does this all come from? The tender mercy of God. You know, right throughout the world today, people have all kinds of concepts about God. Let me tell you about God, friend. He is a loving, a just, and a righteous God. The Bible says he is tender in his mercy. Doesn't that just speak most eloquently of the heart of a wonderful Savior? What is he talking about here, the tender mercy of God? He's underlying the source of our salvation. He's speaking, first of all, to that which is given from the heart of God, and he's speaking, second of all, to that which is based on the love of God. So you have these two juxtaposed together here, both speaking to the tender mercy of God. Number one is his heart, and number two is his love. Now, doesn't that just remind you of Christmas? One of the things I love about Christmas is the expression of people's heart and their love. You know, when you gather and you write those Christmas cards and you get those gifts, you have that wonderful meal and family comes in and you get the Christmas tree and you light it up, you put on music, and there's just something about two things happening, folks. It's about heart and it's about love. It's why in my own heart, I always feel very sad for people who are left out. Do you know, folks, that's why we give. Because there are a lot of people who are lonely, a lot of people who are caught up in the quagmire of anger and hostility, a lot of people who are abandoned and abused. There are lots of folks out there. Listen to me. Listen, Christmas, my friend, is about the source of salvation. It's about the tender mercy of God. It's given from the heart of God, and it is based upon the love of God. So here's the prophet of Christmas. The prophet. That's his designation. John the Baptist must have occupied quite a special place in the heart of God, don't you think? Can you imagine being singled out like that? Boy, I would have been petrified. Maybe that's why he stayed in the desert and ate locusts. I don't know. But I'd be absolutely petrified. So what did the prophet of Christmas talk about? What was he prophesying? This Jesus who was born but had not yet arrived. The significance of preparation, the knowledge of salvation, the means of salvation, the source of salvation. But number five, I love this. Watch this. The prophet of Christmas described the arrival of salvation. Look at the second part of verse 78. Here's what he says. By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Isn't it amazing that this prophet, spoken to by God himself, would be able to describe how exactly and what exactly was going to happen when this Jesus, our salvation, would arrive on the scene? Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I was born and raised in Africa. I know some of you have got me in Australia, Borneo, New Guinea, Indonesia, jolly good old England, lots of places. I was born in Africa, but I've lived in America, this is my home, longer than I lived in Africa. My wife and I, every time we go to Africa, we come back and we say, you know, we just pray that every now and again we're going to be able to go back for a number of reasons, but one stands above everything else. Do you know what it is? The African sunrises and sunsets. Now, folks, I love America. Please don't misunderstand me, but you will never see a sunrise or a sunset like you will in Africa. You come with me. Out there on those plains, in those valleys and those mountains, sitting under the shade of thorn trees and baobab trees, the sounds of animals, lions, deer of all kind, eland, kudu, wildebeest, elephant, warthogs, lion, leopard, you name it, cheetahs, the birds. Come with me at 5 o'clock in the morning on the plains of Africa. The drums sound. You emerge from your tent. You look out and that sun's beginning to come up. It's the most splendid picture you've ever seen. The heavens are arrayed in the splendor and the glory of Almighty God. The sounds of God's creation waking up. The freshness of the earth's atmosphere. The whole spectacular nature of God's beauty and His creation. It is unbelievable. Here's what the prophet said. The prophet said this, that the arrival of salvation, who is Jesus Christ, watch this, will be like the rising of the sun from heaven. What was he talking about? He was talking about, first of all, the brilliance of his coming. The brilliance of his coming, arrayed in splendid glory. And second of all, he was talking about the authority of his coming. Not only the spectacular nature of this virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rising sun, arrayed in the splendor of all creation, but with the authority of Almighty God, who is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. And here it is, the prophet of Christmas, describing the arrival of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a trumpet sound. And then finally, number six, the prophet of Christmas pinpointed the results of salvation. I love this one because it all comes down to this. And in that final verse, in verse 79, the prophet of Christmas, under the inspiration of Almighty God Himself, prophesies concerning the three-point result of the coming of our salvation in Jesus Christ to Bethlehem's manger. Why did Jesus come? Number one, to illuminate darkness. To illuminate darkness. Look at that in verse 79. To shine on those living in darkness. My friends, you and I know you can travel all around the world. We can find a lot of darkness, can't we? Some awfully dark continents and dark people and dark places. But I'm going to tell you that even in our own cities, in our backyards, people are living in darkness without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is light. He came to live in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible tells us, my friend, that in our sin, we are lost. We have no light. We have no hope. Guess what Jesus Christ does? Result number one of His coming, according to the prophet of Christmas. Jesus Christ, our salvation, illuminates our darkness. He puts a light where there is no light. He gives us meaning. He puts a smile back on our face. He gives us hope. He sets us in a new direction. He lightens our lives because he is the Prince of Light. So number one, he illuminates the darkness. Number two, he eliminates death. He eliminates death. He says in the next verse, and in the shadow of death. May I make an announcement to you? Shadows cannot kill. All of you look at me for just a moment. If you look real closely, you're going to see something happening to me. I've been told I'm starting to get a few gray hairs on the side of my head. You know what those gray hairs are? They are a shadow of my impending death. Every moment that goes by is a shadow of my death. But guess what, folks? When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, he eliminates death. He doesn't eliminate the shadow. We are still subject to all the rigors of this life. We're still subject to our human condition. But because of salvation in Christ Jesus, we've been set free. So what does he do? He illuminates the darkness. He eliminates death. And number three, he inundates us with his peace. Do you know this Jesus? The one of which this prophet of Christmas spoke. Have you been illuminated? Eliminated? Have you been inundated? You can do that today. All because of Jesus.
Pray you would consider giving us a call and letting us pray you through that decision. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. And perhaps you're just standing on the edge wondering, are you sure? Hear these closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord's spoken to you, let this day, this Christmas Eve, be the day you say yes to Jesus Christ. We'd love to pray with you, get some free resources in your hands. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And if you're interested in studying God's Word this year, we've got a great option for you.
This year again, I was blessed to join with several pastors and Christian leaders from across the country in writing a brand new 52-week devotional called The Heart of Worship. I want to make a copy available to you and for you to have copies that you can get to send to your families and friends at Christmas time. In fact, as we begin a new year, begin it with God. So thank you, my friends, for picking up the phone and calling to request the Heart of Worship devotional today. God bless you.
That number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or TEWonline.org.